This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
We go to a scripture in 2 Chronicles. I've just got to get my glasses out. Just want to read a few scriptures out and we'll let them speak to us. So 2 Chronicles and... pages are all stuck together. All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 1, and just want to read verse 7. And it's Solomon, just before we read it, Solomon had been made king, and he's established everything. Well, he's establishing the house of God, building the house of God, getting it ready. And he's been seeking the Lord, and he's offered all these burnt offerings. He offered 1,000 burnt offerings to the Lord. That's a lot of offerings. So verse 7, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask, what shall I give you? Ask, what shall I give you?" I want to talk about asking. The Bible has some incredible things to say about asking. In Psalm 2, there's a prophetic psalm there about the whole world being in turmoil, all the kings of the earth setting themselves up against what God's wanting to do in the earth, raging against what he's wanting to do, trying to change the laws. Boy, don't we see that happening now? That prayer about marriages in Australia is incredible. Think about the laws that they're trying to put in place, and certainly it's getting more and more vehement against the church. There's a real aggression against the church, which is called the foundation and ground of the truth. That we are. In other words, we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Word of God, every single word that he said. There is not one jot or tittle in this word that is not going to be unfulfilled. It's all going to be fulfilled. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words remain forever." So there's this real raging against what's happening in the kings and governments of the world, against the Lord, against the Lord Jesus Christ. And God makes this, he said, even though that's happening, he says, "Yet I've set my king on my holy hill of Mount Zion." Do you know what that holy hill is? I'm not talking about a natural hill. I'm talking about a hill which God says, he calls it his mountain of prayer. That's where all authority is. That's where all power, the power of heaven is. It's not in the governments in this world, but he has set his king on his holy hill of Zion. You'll see that in Psalm 2. And then he talks about his son. He said, "You are my son. This day I have begotten you." And he says to him, "Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession." And so even the Lord Jesus Christ has to ask. We have to ask. And so here's God speaking to King Solomon, and he says, "Ask, what shall I give you?" And I want to know, what are you asking God for? Because there's some incredible promises in the Bible. Turn to Luke 7. Luke chapter 11. We're going to read this together. Luke chapter 11. It starts off with the disciples. Just let me find it. The disciples asking Jesus to teach them how to pray. He was in this certain place. And when he had stopped praying, this is verse 1. One of his disciples said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." You know, sometimes we need to be taught. And he said, and you know, when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Well, there you go. We've been given the criteria of the things that we're to pray for. We're praying. The number one thing, after we worship him, get our perspective right, get our focus right. And hasn't that been happening this morning? God's just so been touching us and calling us back to the place of authority, and that's right before his very throne. We sang about the mercy seat. Jesus is that mercy seat, that we can come with absolute boldness to this holy place that we're standing in. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. Well, that wipes every single one of us out if we tried to stand in our own righteousness. But through Jesus Christ, we can come and stand in a holy place. We can come right before the presence of his glory. We can come right to the very throne of grace. So he says, pray, your kingdom come. That's why we're there at the throne of grace, is to pray his kingdom come. Then he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us or sins against us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then he gave this parable, this story, and he said, which of you, think about this, if you had a friend, you have a friend and go to him at midnight and you say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. I go to William's house, midnight. Start banging on his door. He's in bed, wife's in bed, he's all his children in bed, and I'm banging on his door at midnight. And I would not blame him for being upset. But you know, if somebody's coming banging at your door at midnight, you've probably got an inclination that there's something pretty serious going on. Would that be right? Especially if you not want to do it. I don't bang on your door at midnight normally. No. So here he comes banging on the door at midnight. And he says this, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I've nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, don't trouble me, the door is shut. My children are with me and in bed and I cannot rise to give you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who knocks finds, and to him he seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. And then he says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And the answer obviously is no. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who what? Ask him. When Jesus said there, he said, chapter, though he will not rise from his bed and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence. The old King James uses a word that we don't use anymore, and it uses the word importunity. And it describes a situation where it is right that you should behave in a certain way. And that's what his situation, he's got a friend that's come to him at midnight from a long journey. He's got nothing to feed him. Now, normally, he wouldn't go and bang on somebody else's door at midnight because that's just not appropriate. The situation's not there, and just go and ask, oh, I'm just feeling a bit peckish, William. I wonder if you give me, you know, a nice cup of coffee and a biscuit. Well, I think you'd politely tell me to go and go back to bed. Because it's just not right. But the situation demanded it. And you know what the situation we're in right now? The Holy Spirit's been talking to us as a church. There is a harvest that's going to be brought in. And it's that we've got to see it And we've got to start to ask for it. If the Son of God was told, ask of me for the nations, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth for your possession. Do you think that Jesus has done that? Do you think that he has asked the Father for every single soul to be saved? He's asked for the nations. He's asked for the inheritance of the earth. Do you think that he failed to ask? The Bible says that right now he is interceding at the right hand of God for every one of us. And I think, well, what's he interceding for us for? So that we'll have a nice and peaceable life? I don't think that's what he's praying about. I think he's praying, Father, Father, awaken their hearts that they will know the hour that they are living in and the circumstance that they are living in, that they would awake at this time, that they would wake up. They would know what the circumstance and situation is, that people are perishing, that there's a huge harvest that has to be brought in. The greatest harvest that this world has ever seen, we are on the brink of it. I was talking to somebody recently, we're sharing this, and they've been Christians in the Lord for a long time. And you know what they said? They said, oh, we've been hearing that all our lives. And I remember when it used to excite me. I remember when it used to stir me up that we're on the brink of the greatest revival and greatest harvest that this earth will ever see. And he said, oh, that was 30 years ago. I used to hear that. And what it is now, it's not hitting us hard. Why is it that we are right at the midnight hour? We know. Why are we so excited about the coming of the Lord? It's so soon that he's going to come back. But he is coming back for a harvest. He's going to see the harvest reap. He is seated at the right hand of God until all of his enemies become his footstool. Why do the nations rage? The kings of the earth set themselves in array and they rage against what the Lord is wanting to do. This is Psalm 2. And he who sits in the heavens laughs. He will hold them in derision. What Monday? Monday we had the funeral. Just last. Was it last Monday? Last Monday had a funeral in this house. I was driving up here on Friday. I went to see a lady with Frank the previous week, 99 years old. She was sent home to die. And she couldn't speak English. Spoke Dutch. And the family asked to go to pray with her. She had palliative care at home. And to pray for her. And Karen's telling me about it. And she goes, oh, we know somebody who's Dutch, don't we? And I go, who? Who's that? Suddenly, penny drop. Frank, of course, Frank, perfect. So ring Frank. We go to see her. We pray for her. And the family was talking about the funeral as well, coming up. And I looked at her and I thought, oh, she's going to last another couple of weeks at least. She looked quite strong to me. I don't know what you thought. She looked strong to me, getting on, but 99 years old. And anyway, after that, we saw her. I think that was a Wednesday. Remember, anyway, Friday I was driving up to the church, all set to do. Oh, that's right. The stage was being removed, so I was just clearing some stuff, looking in the container and whatnot. Had my work clothes on, all set to go, and Karen's ringing me as I drive up, pull over, and oh, the family's ready to do the funeral on Monday. I didn't know she died. So, come up here. And the family came up to see the place, so I saw them in the afternoon. And so I asked them about this lady, 99 years old. All her life she'd been a Christian and moved from place to place. Her husband was a lay preacher. She was a Pentecostal lady. She would go around about the home pleading the blood of Jesus, Josie. Every room she would plead the blood of Jesus. And pray for all her family. And you know what just absolutely surprised me they were talking about her relationship with the Lord, but they didn't have it. They didn't have it. And I thought, that's amazing. That's amazing. And so I was just going through them about the funeral, and I said, look, I've got to tell you, you've got an incredible heritage in your family. Your great-grandmother, so we had the daughter there, granddaughter, and great-granddaughter and son as well were all there. I said, you have an incredible heritage in your family. Your mother prayed for you. And I want to tell you, there is a resurrection, and she's believing in that. She knows where she's going, but you need to know that the resurrection is not a fairy story. It's not a nice thing to say at funerals to make people feel better. It is a reality. And so just praying for that family, I was just shocked. How can a great-grandmother, mother, have that kind of a faith, and the whole family just, she had a nice little thing going, and they need to be born again. The harvest, the harvest, the harvest. We've got to see that harvest. And here's the promise, that if we ask anything in His name, we shall receive it. Whoever asks, receives. Didn't we just read that? Whoever asks, receives. And we're in a time where there's not the intensity of asking that needs to be there. That's what prayer is really all about. That's what it's all about. You see, God, that is literally what it's all about. It's knowing what God's will is and praying according to it, believing for it. The Bible says that God does nothing, listen to this, God does nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. Okay, now before we get all spooky over that word prophet, you know what Moses said? Moses, there was a move in the camp of Israel, and all the elders these leaders were starting to prophesy in it. Before that, it was only Moses was the man that prophesied. And the leaders started prophesying when the Spirit came upon them. And he had this young man, Joshua, who's his right-hand man. He got jealous for him. They're prophesying. Do you want me to stop them? You know, Moses said, would to God that all of God's people are prophets. Well, what's the big deal about it? A prophet sees what God is doing. The Bible says, well, just before I go on a bit more there, it says, God does nothing unless He reveals it to His servants, the prophets. You know what Jeremiah said? He was a prophet. He said, if they are prophets, let them make intercession. The greatest, one of the worst things that you can have is a prophet who doesn't pray. Because a prophet is seeing what God is wanting to do, and the whole purpose of that is so that then he will pray so that thing will be released, so that thing will be done. Would to God, Moses said, that all of God's people are prophets. Well, we are. It says in Revelation that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You all have it. All of us have it. We know what God is doing. We know what He has planned. He has not hidden it. He has not done it in secret. He has done it openly. His arm He has bared in the sight of every nation. He has revealed His will. He has written it down for us as well. And He wants us to start to enter in. If they are prophets, let them make intercession. Today we have such a fascination with end time stuff. But the tragedy is that sometimes just a fascination for wanting to know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. They're missing the mark totally. If we see what God is doing, just like all of the prophets, think about Daniel. He received from the word of God that the time was at hand, that Israel was going to be delivered, that God was going to bring them back to their land. And what did he do? He started to pray. He started to intercede. He started to ask God. And God poured it out. And every move of God, the same thing has happened. God has got His people beginning to pray. Put in the notice sheet a couple of weeks ago. There's an incredible move in Argentina. many years ago now in the 70s. But that land of Argentina was a prosperous land, and they started to go into decline. They started to forget God, turned away from God, became very proud of their prosperity. Witchcraft came into that land, occult practices, and the people were, you know, really going away from the Lord. And God raised up people in a Bible college. If you remember, it was in your notice sheet. 50 students in this Bible college were praying and fasting, weeping. Some of them wept for days. There's a story of one young boy leaned his head up against the concrete wall, and his just tears were running out of his eyes, crying out for Argentina. It's out of the book called Cry for Me, Argentina, and talked about the revival that came to that nation. Incredible things. You know, we look at Billy Graham crusades, but these tripled those kind of numbers. Huge meetings in that place, huge revival. God humbled that whole nation. You know, the Falklands War humbled that nation at that time as well. And these young students begin to weep and cry before the Lord, crying for Argentina, crying for God's grace and mercy to be poured out, because that's what he wanted to do. But he had to wait until he had a people that were praying. And that's what he wants us to do. There is a huge harvest. And here we've got this incredible promise. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever asks, receive. Now I want to just go on to... That's the time. I'll leave it there. Now, just quickly. Jesus said... Remember, he said, if we ask anything in his name, we shall receive. Anything. It shall be done. Isn't that an incredible promise? How many have tried that and it's never worked? My hands up. How many? It hasn't worked yet. Let God be true, every man a liar. My situation, my experience is not the reality. God's word is true. If you ask anything in my name, and he said this, up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's an incredible thing when we receive what we're asking for. That whole issue of praying in his name is not just, you know, you've got to say it the right way. That's not what it is. You know, you've got this move going on. If you say, use the Hebrew word, Yeshua, you probably get more results. I loved it when I was in Bible college, and we had these theologians come through, and we were all getting all this head knowledge, and great stuff it was. Then we had this black American come through, and he said, look, don't worry about the Hebrew, don't worry about the Greek, spit it out in English, it works. I love that. Balance. I'm not knocking one, but sometimes we need to be pulled back in the line. God does that. It's in his name. The issue of being in Christ, when you're in Christ, you're going to love one another. You know, it says in 1 John, this is the confidence that we have with God, that if we ask anything in his name, he hears us. But it's always coupled with loving one another. It says if our heart doesn't condemn us, why would our heart condemn us? Well, because Jesus gave one command. He said, love one another as I have loved you. Rats. As I have loved you, love one another. And that's the condition. That's why our hearts condemn us. If there are issues one with the other, and then we come before the Lord. Didn't Jesus say that? You come in before the altar, right? That's where you're asking. And he said that you remember that your brother's got something against you. You remember that you said something that was really nasty to him. You've got an attitude towards him, and you're coming to the altar. Well, God's not going to hear you. He says that. If we regard iniquity in our heart, God will not hear us. So there are conditions. So that's the truth. That's the reality. I've got to leave it there. Can we all stand up, please?
I should have said this earlier, but it just sort of been saying. So, oh, do you want me to say it? Oh, sorry, I should have shared this a bit earlier. It's just a song that came to me this morning, and it says, we have a vision for this nation. We share a dream for this land. We join with angels in celebration. By faith we speak revival to this land, where every knee shall bow and worship you, and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Give us an open heaven, anoint our prayers this day, and move your sovereign hand across this nation.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, just lift up your hands, everybody. Father, we thank you. Oh, I just thank you. You say if any two can agree touching anything, I pray it'd be such a voice coming out of this place, Lord, that you're going to respond to it. Again, if God responded to the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah and he had to deal with it, how much more does he want to respond to the cry of his own people when it lines up with his heart and his will? Father, we ask, Lord, that you would pour upon us the spirit of prayer and supplication. Thank you that you are doing it, that it is being poured out right now. And Lord, we're going to take this time, this importune time, and not let it go by. We're going to rise at this midnight hour and, Lord, come right to your very throne of grace. We need, Lord, the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. You said to ask you for rain in the time of the latter rain. We're in the latter time. Lord, we need the latter rain to be poured out on this nation. We ask for every church in Melbourne. Lord, we ask for every church in Melbourne that there will be such an outpouring of your Spirit, Lord, a spirit of prayer and supplication, Lord, that there might be a pouring out of your Spirit upon this nation, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name, Lord, that all the distractions, all the diversions, all the lusts of the flesh and the things of the flesh, Lord, will be cast out, Lord, as we come right before your throne. We ask this in Jesus' name and thank you for it. Lord, we look to see, Lord, souls being saved in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Monbolt Christian Fellowship.